Okay, I hope everyone had a wonderful time and a chance to review the fourth parak of Sefer Yehoshua. Well, let's go over it at least from an outside perspective. There are many mitzvos that serve to remind us of the splitting of the Yamsuf. We have so many miracles, the Shira and other things that we engage in. But in order for Bnei Yisrael to remember the splitting of the Yarden, Hashem said that he wanted a monument to be built from the stones that were taken from the empty riverbed. And so after the nation crossed through the Yarden, Hashem told Yehoshua to command the 12 people to go back into the Yarden to take out 12 stones where the Kohanim were standing holding the Aron, and to carry them on their shoulders to the place where the nation was going to sleep that night. And these were the 12 men that we talked about yesterday, who had seen the miracles and were getting ready for the taking of the stones. So Yehoshua crossed the rear of the entire nation to sit so that they'd feel secure that the water would be there until Yehoshua got across. And Hashem told Yehoshua these stones are going to be placed in a place called Gilgal as a memorial of the miracle that took place at the Yarden, so that in the future the nations will look at this monument and it would help them have an increased amount of Yerushalayim. They would have an increase in their fear of Hashem. And Yehoshua wanted these stones to stand in Eretz Yisrael with Am Yisrael forever. So perhaps these stones are still existent somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe we will find it in Yemos HaMashiach, so suggests and hopes the author of the Das Sofrim. Yehoshua then places 12 additional stones by the feet of the Kohanim who are standing in the Yarden to mark where the water had stood. And there's no mention of Hashem telling Yehoshua to do that, but he was clearly doing so, al pi Hashem, suggests the Ralbag, even though we don't find a tzivoy. Now, there is a difference of opinion as to whether the stones were supposed to be visible after the Yarden started to flow again. So the Alshach says that the stones were placed so that they would protrude above the water level and it would forever remain recognizable. And the Klayaka writes that they were placed by the feet of the Kohanim and were covered by the water because they weren't supposed to be seen by everyone else. But if one person were to look for them, he'd be able to find it. The Mincha Ketana, he says that no, the stones were not visible above the water, but in the times of Mashiach, we're going to cross the dry riverbed of the Yarden again, and that's where we'll be able to see where Bnei Yisrael did it the first time. During all the travels in the desert, Reuven and Gad traveled in the normal formation. But now that they went into Eretz Yisrael, they started traveling in front of the camp, just like they had promised Moshe Rabbeinu when the instructions came to them. And here we find it in Sefer Yehoshua, that they start taking their role as the ones leading the battles. And so with the entire nation having crossed the Yarden, and only the Kohanim, who were carrying the Aron, now still standing in the empty riverbed, the Kohanim step back onto the eastern side of the Yarden, and the river starts to flow on its own. The waters that had piled high in the air didn't come crashing down at once, but rather the river slowly flowed gently downstream, until it gradually fed into the stream, with the waters of the Yarden separating the Kohanim from the nation. The Aron then lifted those who were carrying it in the air and flew with them over the river. This is what the Gemara says is how those Kohanim managed to cross. So that day being the 10th of Nisan, the nation travels to Gilgal. They bring with them the stones that they had taken from the Yarden. This is Shabbos HaGadol, or at least the time period, and Yehoshua had split the Yarden, paralleling the splitting of the Yamsuf, which causes the nation to fear Yehoshua as they had feared Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Chazal compare Moshe to Yehoshua, we note that it's a comparison of Pnei Moshe k'Pnei Achama, Pnei Yehoshua k'Pnei Alavana, right? That Moshe was like the sun and Yehoshua was like the moon, but the nation still shows that Yehoshua, they had a certain respect for Yehoshua, in the same way that they had that respect for Moshe. And the Medrash tells us that Moshe was told to give Yehoshua some of his hold, some of his greatness, and the splendor that he had gotten from the Luchos at Har Sinai. Yehoshua got this now when they crossed the Yarden. And that's why the nation began to show the same yira for Yehoshua that they had for Moshe Rabbeinu. And just as the nation wasn't able to look at Moshe Rabbeinu due to the amazing sight of his face, they weren't able to look directly at Yehoshua, because just like the moon gets its light from the sun, Yehoshua gets his radiance from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's how the Me'am Lois wants us to understand some of the great things that came about as a result of this, the fourth parak of Sefer Yehoshua. So here we are, in summary, with the understanding of what happens in our parak. There are 12 men who are told to take out the 12 stones from the Yarden and bring them to Gilgal. There they're going to serve as a memorial of the splitting of the Yarden. 12 additional stones Yoshua commands to be put into the Yarden by the feet of the Kohanim. And there's a machlokes as to whether it protrudes out of the water or stays below the water, but it's there to mark exactly where the water splits. We also learn that at this point in time, Reuven and Gad move to the front of the nation, where they're going to continue to travel as they conquer the land, leading the people into the battles. And then we find that the water gradually returns to its original flow, although the Kohanim find themselves on the wrong riverbank. And so they get miraculously transported by the Aron Kodesh from the eastern bank of the river to the western bank of the river, where they rejoined all of the Jewish nation. There are a lot of miracles in this week, in today's parak, and with God's help, we'll be able to see the opportunity that comes about as the people continue to be prepared for tomorrow's process of moving forward and onward and upward. And of course, we'll look forward to that opportunity when we study Parakeh tomorrow.